Morning, everyone. Good morning. Everybody, can y'all hear me? Yep, you can hear me now. Glad to see everyone this morning. I'm Mark today. I tried to wear the tie and the sweater or the combination there, but glad to see everyone. I'll be giving you your announcements today. As Mark would say, this is a beautiful day, and indeed it is. Remember last Sunday when we were here? And you look out into the next 2 weeks, and I don't see any snowflake symbols anywhere on the weather forecast, so that's something to be thankful for, potentially the arrival of an early spring. Birthdays for this week. Let's see, who all do we have here? David Rush. Is David around here? I think he's hiding back there, looking up at the ceiling. I'm not sure what's there. Let's wish him a happy birthday on the 13th. That's coming up in about a week or so. Carlene Van Cott, happy birthday to her. That'll be tomorrow. And today, Joey Green. Happy birthday to Joey Green. And there's some more coming up in the weeks to follow. Wedding anniversaries. Anybody having a wedding anniversary? As Mark always says, I've got the list here. So anybody want to own up to it? Okay. I think Mr. John Potter's got one here on February 8th. And then the next one's a week after that. Anybody that maybe recently coming here that have not gotten on the list yet want to add your anniversary in? No? Go once, go twice. Okay. Prayer request. We need to continue to remember those who are battling cancer. Also those that have lost battles to cancer. Bob Bryant passed away Monday, this past week. I think probably most, if not all of you know that. So please continue to remember Charlotte. She herself, as you well know, has sustained health issues here in the past month or so. And so battling all that and trying to work through that, please continue to remember her. Also, Butch Abbott, who lost his mother at the ripe young age of 104. She's gone on to now, instead of 104, she probably feels like she's 24 or younger. And so we're thankful for that, but continue to remember him. It hurts nonetheless, because even though it's just a parting temporarily, it still hurts. There's others. Continue to remember Bob Smith. Karen has turned in that he's recovering well, but continue to pray for ongoing health there for him. Also, Elsie, well, we just talked about Elsie Coyle. That was Butch Abbott's mom. Sergio Maluzzi, cancer treatment has started. Sharon Williams' husband. Continue to remember Sharon Harmon. She's in her chemo, that God will comfort her and that she'll regain strength there. We're probably watching this morning, so we're remembering her. And so please, and the whole family, remember them. Kim Brummett started her radiation back in December. Nate Hanley, a 15-year-old needing a heart transplant ASAP. So continue to remember Nate. This whole back, and there's just a list of lots of folks with cancer. Continue to remember Judy Whitson. I think she got her last report was favorable. And Leona Lang, who is facing stage 4 bone cancer. Josh Gabbert, Candace Givens, Pete DeFort, Linda Moore, Jamie McCoy, Dale Kelly. I mean, we can just down the list. Cancer is such a vicious thing. Any others that we need to add? Yes, ma'am.
Nate Hanley got his heart transplant.
Okay.
He is recuperating in the Mayo area.
Awesome. Awesome. I'll put that down. Thank you. Okay, thank you. So if there's others, just have them put on the list there so we'll have them to read here in the weeks ahead. And please continue to remember these. Well, let's see. What else does Mark always do? He puts something about nothing up here. I'm old school. I don't have the fancy stuff. I'm generally a whiteboard person. There's not a whiteboard here, but I'll try to share a little humor with you. I think that's kind of I've got this list, and no, I'm not going to go down this list, but they call them imponderables. Anybody here have heard of imponderables? They're a lot like the much about nothing. Let me just share a couple of those with you. Why do kamikaze pilots wear helmets? Let's see. Can vegetarians eat animal crackers? Is a clear conscience a sign of bad memory? Perhaps one of my favorites. I kept wondering why the ball was getting bigger. Then it hit me. So, anyway, you can see that when you get old and retired, it's just this kind of slightly warped humor that, I guess, gets you. And Mark's not that old, and he's not retired yet, but maybe we share that in common. I want to share just a quick nugget with you, and then Brother Pritchard's going to come to pray. I only have about 5 minutes or so. I want to talk about the word. So, think about a word, the whole concept. What do you think about? I mean, when you think, well, it's just something we speak. We string them together and make sentences, and a bunch of those make paragraphs, and a bunch of those make chapters and books and all like that. The poet Emily Dickinson once said, "I know nothing in the world that has as much power as a word." And I remember when I was in middle school, we had to remember some poems, and one of hers was very short, and I'll recite it to you. "A word is dead when it is said, some say. I say it just begins to live that day." Okay? So think about that concept of a word, this broader, longer, durative concept. Nietzsche, the atheistic philosopher, once said, "All I need is a sheet of paper and something to write with, and then I can turn the world upside down." And that's sad. Abraham Heschel pointed out that Hitler did not ride to power with guns and tanks. He rode to power on words. So words have tremendous power in written form and in spoken word form. You can tear someone down, cut them down just that quick, or you can restore them and help turn them back on the path. You can point them back to God. But what about in the Bible? In the Hebrew Bible, the word for word is davar. It'd be spelled D-A-V-A-R if you put it in English letters. And it's by words that God created everything that you see, that we're a part of. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And he began speaking things into existence. "Let there be light," and there was light. God separated the light from the darkness. And he goes on, and he creates all of those things. Also, the Ten Commandments. You ever heard of the word Decalogue? Deca, ten, log, the 10 words. So the whole word, devar, carries with it this notion of speak, commandment, promise, or to act. And when God created this marvelous creation, Psalms and Romans said that the creation, the world, spoke back glory to God. So, put another way, God devoured the world into existence, and the world devoured back glory to God. So, what's our response for this? In the Old Testament, remember when the children of Israel are there, and Moses are reading out the commandments? Collectively, they said what? "We will hear and we will do." They were devouring back. Now, it didn't always live up to that, nor do we. But the concept is there, the whole concept of the root word. I'll share one more passage with you. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. As you go forth this week, think about this concept, because you're going to meet a lot of people. And those people, some of them are going to be hurting. Maybe a lot of them are going to be hurting. And you have the power, let God work through you and speak words of encouragement, words of healing, words that can drive them back to the book. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 35 down through 37. Jesus speaking. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." So words can be idle as well. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." is our hearts, are we treasuring up the good? Are we bringing good treasure out of them, or evil? Let's think about that as we go forth this week. Brother Pritchard?
Amen. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church this morning. Amen. I told Brother Daniels, I said, this don't only look like a class. This looks like a church. Amen. praise the Lord. I appreciate you being here this morning. Appreciate Brother Dan and through him asking me to be here today and be able to share something from God's Word for you and to you. And let's have a word of prayer, and we'll try to get right straight on into the lesson. Father, we do love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what we've heard already. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to stand once again. And, Lord, we ask thee today to just have your will and way. And Lord, we realize this morning, Lord, that we are absolutely nothing without you. And we ask thee to strengthen our hearts today and help us, Lord Jesus, to stand in this gap this morning, Lord, and exalt your word and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We are grateful today, Father, for what's already the word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we have, the words that we have to communicate with. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to communicate the word of God and help us, Lord Jesus, to fill our hearts with your word and allow that word to come out, we pray. We love you. Thank you for all these. Bless those that are here this morning. And Lord, I know there's no doubt unspoken requests. I know, Lord, that a lot of things on all of our hearts this morning. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'd attend to those things. Even right now, Lord, you know not only what we think or what we say, but you also know what we think. And we ask thee today to just help us, Lord, to Lord, those that need help this morning in various ways, we pray you take care of those needs. And Lord, will your children help us always to remember who we are and where we're going. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Always remember who we are and where we're going. Amen. We're a child of God and on our way to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. And we're going to be in 1 Peter. Now, as I was studying, you know, the theme of this coming year, this year, is following Jesus. And just so happens, as I was studying, that these things come up in the study. So we are going to look at that just a little bit this morning. And we asked you to remember us, and let's pray, especially for Brother Dan and a new work that God has put Brother Dan in, and we want to pray for him and remember him today in prayer as the Lord just uses him there where he's at. And I know he's going to be a blessing. I know that. I know God's going to use him, and we just pray that God will just have his will and way in his life and heart. Well, most of you know, my wife and I, we've been missionaries in Brazil, but I'd like just to take about 5 minutes, and those that may not know, when my wife and I were married at 18, we got married, and the Lord just kind of was working in both our hearts. We wasn't in church at that time, but at 19, my wife and I surrendered our lives completely to the Lord, or been doing it ever since. I mean, it takes a long time to get it all in, doesn't it? But and the Lord just began to use us in the local church there. And the first thing you know, I was teaching Sunday school and teaching the youth and different things, you know, some steps that you make when you're young. And then the pastor, you know, was on visitation, different things for the pastor, and just filling in, you know, just that, trying to be a right-hand man to the pastor. And before long, you know, after teaching in 1996, I'm sorry, 1976, we'd already had our children, three boys, and that morning, the Holy Spirit of God arrested my heart Sunday morning about 11 something, and spoke to my heart about surrendering to preach the gospel. And so I was there contemplating that and praying about it. And the pastor got up that morning and opened the Bible to Isaiah 53. And he read these words there: "Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And the Holy Spirit of God spoke to my heart that morning and said, "That's what I want you to do, is to reveal my son, preach Jesus." And so I've surrendered that morning and got up from my knees, and the pastor looked at me and said, "What did God do for you, Paul?" I said, "Well, God called me to preach." And he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I'm absolutely sure." He said, "Well, go ahead and get ready to preach Wednesday night." He said, "You're sure?" I said, I'm sure. He said, "Well, Wednesday night." So I go to work the next morning, and a man, Kenny, that I worked with for 2 years, I talked to him first thing. I said, "Kenny, God called me to preach yesterday. I want you to come and listen to me preach on Wednesday night." He looked at me and said, "Paul," he said, "we've been working together about 2 years." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You've been preaching to me for 2 years." And he did come. He did come that Wednesday night, drove over 30 miles to get there, and he got saved. He got born again. And it's been over 40 years. I left. I went to Bible college. I never hear from him no more. And just last year sometime or so, he calls me up on a FaceTime, and I just slid it over. I didn't even recognize who it was. Calls me again. I just slid it over and turned it off. And the third time he calls me, and I said, who is this? He said, "This is Kenny. Why do you keep hanging up on me?" I said, he said, "I haven't seen you in over 40 years. He said, "No, I just wanted to call you and tell you I'm going to come by Tennessee and I want to meet you somewhere to eat a meal." So we met out at Perkins and had a meal, and he'd been preaching. He'd been preaching in nursing homes. I tell you, God's good, isn't he? God's good. 1976, thank God, God called me. And in 1977, my wife and family moved to go to Bible college. And went to Bible college, 1979. May of 1979, we had a mission conference. And on a Thursday night of that mission conference, they preached, Brother Jimmy Rose was preaching, and preached that if you would just like to, don't surrender to some, just surrender to God. He said, "Don't worry about a field, don't worry about a place." He said, "Would you just come and surrender to God?" So I took my wife and my three children. We went forward that Thursday night, and we just went forward and prayed and just said, "Lord, you know, here we are. Here we are, Lord. We're doing what they asked. Come, we're here." And would you believe at 3 o'clock in the morning, just right after, you know, Thursday night, 3 o'clock in the morning, the Holy Spirit woke me up. And he put a burden on my heart about for Brazil, South America. He said, "Son, I want you to go to Brazil." And I woke up the next morning. I went back to sleep, woke back up the next morning. I said, "Lord, was that you last night?" I said, "I didn't. Was that really you?" All the time, you know when it's him. You know when God's speaking to your heart. And so that's just a little bit of what happened. The rest of it's all history, I guess. We surrendered to go to the mission field. And the Lord has graciously raised up works there in Brazil. The Lord has done it. Churches have been established, and schools have been established, and pastors. I think I have about 13 preachers that have come out of that church and started other churches. And so we praise the Lord, you know, and my wife and I both are so grateful that God would even consider using us in the ministry And I'm so thankful that he has. Amen. I'm so thankful. I can look back and say, if I had it to do over, I'd do it again and try to do it better. Amen. Do it again. So I just want to say that. Thank God for what the Lord has done. And please continue to pray for my dear wife. She's had a lot of physical problems in the last few years. And so continue to pray for her that the Lord will raise her up. So in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2, a lot of times, you know, we go through things and we wonder, you know, why in the world do we go through these things? And why in the world do we have to suffer maybe sometimes the way we do? And but, you know, that's in God's plan. And Spurgeon, I read an article several years ago that Spurgeon said that God, he picks out the special ones to suffer. He picks out, that's what he said, you know, he picks out the ones that he can trust with suffering. And we do know one very well, don't we? I mean, the whole book is about it, suffering, Job. He picks out ones that he can use for that. And I give glory to God, amen, for his leadership and what the Lord is doing. So in here in Peter, as I said this morning or yesterday when I was studying, I seen this this example here that I want us to look at just for a little while in 1 Peter chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 21. I know you had to read the whole chapter to get the whole context, but it's here over the title of these verses. It says, "A victorious suffering of a Christian," or of Christ, his victorious suffering. And then it says, "For even," verse number 21, "For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self by our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." I noticed here that Christ suffered, leaving us an example in verse 21 that we should follow his steps. You know, suffering, there's several reasons why Christians suffer. He says the verses before us here, look what it says in verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your own masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward." And as not only, you know, you're to be subject not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward. And, you just right off, you know, what's that word mean, forward? Not only be good to the gentle and the good, but also to the froward. It's almost like a contrast, right, between good and gentle. Froward, it means curved or crooked. Or it talks about, you know, opposite from good, opposite from gentle. And we're to be, in other words, we're to be gentle to those that are good and those that aren't those that aren't good. So we're to be gentle, we're to fear, be subject. "For this is thankworthy, thankworthy, worthy of gratitude, worthy of deserving thanks. This is thankworthy. This is where we should be grateful. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Now, if I had you to raise your hand this morning, if you've ever suffered wrongfully, no doubt every one of us would raise their hand, right? But this is what the will of God is, he says. He says, for what glory is it if when we be buffeted, and the word buffeted, it's like a boxer. You know, if we be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Patience. When you're treated wrong, you take it patiently. And when you're treated good, you still take it patiently. Whether you're suffering because of something you've done, take it patiently. Or if you're suffering for something you've not had anything to do with, but you still take it patiently. Could I get an amen right there? I'll tell you, it's easy to read. You know, we can read it, but to perform is another story, isn't it? Another to perform it. But God wants us to. He does. Patience. I wrote this down. Patience is a choice to control your emotions rather than allowing your emotions to control you. And who's prayed for patience this morning? patience brings an inner calm to an external problem. Isn't that the truth? Patience. We need patience. And God says that when we're suffering wrongfully or for something of our own making, we're to take it patiently. God, help us to do that. And, you know, sometimes we suffer because, like he says here, we're our own fault that we suffer. In the book of Peter, chapter number 3 and 14, verse 14, Peter 3:14 says, oh, I love that. Turn them pages. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sometimes we suffer because it's our fault. Then sometimes we suffer, like Peter says, because of righteousness' sake. You know, sometimes you stand up for the Lord, and when I'm in a crowd, a lot of times I tell people, I say, well, what I like to do is, you know, when I'm in a different, diverse crowd, I just go up and say, tell them something about the Lord to start with. That way you don't have to hear what you're going to hear sometimes. I just try to get the witness in first before they have a chance to do anything, amen, and they know where I'm coming from, amen, they know. But sometimes, as a book tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:28, sometimes when we, the Bible talks about taking the communion of God, and we were to take it worthily, we're to examine ourselves, right, when we take the communion, and we're to look within and see if there's anything there that God needs to take care of, and just take care of it, amen, just take care of it. But if we don't, sometimes we suffer because we take advantage or abused the Lord's Supper. It's a holy time, isn't it? The Lord's Supper is a time we need to. Sometimes we suffer because of that. Paul talked to the Corinthian believers about that. Then sometimes we suffer in the flesh because we sow to the flesh. We sow to the flesh. And the Bible says you sow to the flesh that we will reap corruption. And then sometimes, like the book of Job 1:8, God allows us to suffer to prove us. And a lot of times our obedience to God brings suffering. But here, what I wanted to see is the greatest thing that Peter was talking about is to follow his steps. To follow his steps. He says here again in this verse, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Follow the Lord. The greatest person ever lived on earth we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Greatest one. Greatest problem ever on the earth was sin. Sin was a problem. And we know God's given us the privilege to have our sins forgiven and be made righteous in his sight. So perfect. What does it mean to follow the Lord as a perfect example? The word example, it means a pattern to follow. To show what others are like. It's a pattern. A person or thing to be imitated or a model to follow. To set an example that others may imitate. So Jesus here is saying, I am leaving you an example that you are to follow my steps. And that's where I thought after studying, I said, well, the whole year's theme is following Jesus, right? That's the theme of this year, as Pastor brought this to us. It's a theme of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And I tell you, God help us to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says he left us an example of suffering. But listen what he said in the book of Matthew. Look with me, please. Matthew 11, book of Matthew, chapter number 11. Most of you already know the verse as we try to get Matthew 11, 28. Through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. A message that Jesus gave personally to his disciples. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And sometimes we think following Jesus is not so easy. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He is going to give us patience that we need to follow him. He is going to give us a model that we can follow. A pattern that we can follow him as we live this perfect example before him. In a book of John, chapter 13, if you would, book of John, chapter 13, 1334. I just want to give you two or three examples of how we can follow him. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So to follow the Lord, he said, I want you to love the way I loved you. I want you to show the love that he has for us just to others that he loved us. That ye love one another as I have loved you. And I tell you, I've never experienced anything like the love of God in my soul. Never. And what God wants us to do is to follow him, but by following him, we are to share and to display that love that he has put in us. You know, he tells us to love who? Our enemies, right? He tells us to love everyone. And God put that love in our soul, and we are to share that love with others. You know, God, that morning at 3 o'clock in the morning when the Lord woke me up right from dead sleep and told me he wanted me to go to Brazil. And, you know, I didn't get up the next morning shouting and praising God. Oh, man, I'm going to get to go to Brazil. No, I didn't. That wasn't the case. I went on to work Friday morning. I went on to work. And through the day, I was pondering, meditating, praying. And some of the men that I work with, they said, Brother Pritchard, Brother Paul, he said, what's wrong today? I said, nothing, just pray for me. You know, they could tell that there was something heavy on my heart. And so Saturday comes around, Sunday, went to church. Everything the preacher said had to do with my calling on Friday morning at 3 o'clock. He didn't know that. He had no clue what he was doing. So I made it through Monday or Sunday, and then Monday went back to work. I came home at 4:30, and like I told you, I have three boys. And I found out years later that Paul Jr., the night I went forward, he was about 12 years old, 11 or 12 years old. He told me this later, years later. He said, Dad, do you know that I surrendered to preach that Thursday night when we all went forward? I said, no, I didn't know that. But he did. He surrendered to preach. Monday, I get home at 4:30, and my three boys, my boy then was already preaching. Paul was already preaching, 12 years old. He's already preaching. And he was preaching to the other two that was 7 and 9. They cleaned out a place behind the garage, put them up some blocks, put a board across 7 blocks, put the two little ones down there, and he was up here pouring it on them. And they caught me before I ever went in the house, and they said, come here, Daddy, come here. Look at our church, Dad. Come here, look at our church. So I went around, and sure enough, they cleaned it all out and put the blocks and the board across it. And he said, Dad, then he got down with the other two. He said, Dad, preach to us. Preach to us, Dad. I said, all right. I had a Bible in my pocket. I carried a whole Bible, just a little one, but it was a whole Bible. And I opened it. I'm looking down at it. I said, let me find something here. I'm going to skin your boy's hide. I opened it to the book of Jonah. And this come out of my mouth. I said, boys, here is a man by the name of Jonah. And God told him what to do, but he's trying to run from God. Words. Words. Those words went out of my mouth, but somehow the Holy Spirit brought it back into my ear. And he broke me. I mean, God just broke me down. And I went in. I said, come on, boys, let's go in the house. I was broke up. And I told my wife to come in to study. And I said, well, they said, Dad, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's going on? I said, we need to pray. And I knelt down. And these words come out of my mouth. Yes, Lord. And when them words come out of my mouth, to surrender, to do what God wanted me to do, the joy bells started ringing, and they've been ringing ever since. Amen. Been ringing ever since. So what are we to do? My illustration was we're to show the example of love. As he loved us, we're to love others. So I was in Kentucky on deputation, getting my support up. And here come a man that was a missionary to Brazil from Porto Alegre, which is down below me where I live there in Brazil, several hundred miles. And he had adopted two twin Brazilian girls. Two little girls. I think it was about maybe 8 years old or 9 years old at that time. And that was the first real Brazilians that I ever seen in my life. Those two little girls. And you know what God did? When I met those two little girls, God just, I mean, he just, like you just put a hot iron to your heart, you know. He just gave me love for them just like that. I never seen Brazilians before. And you know what happened? God let me share that love of his to them in Brazil. Started a church with seven people. Five was us and two visitors. And if I show you the building, I showed my wife the building that we started in. It was an old run-down building that was a bar. And we cleaned it out and painted it. Put a sign up front and started having church. And we never had seven again. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not the best of sharing love, but God let me love them. And I still do. I love God's people. Then let me tell you this. My time's just about gone. In John 15:10. The book of John 15:10, following Jesus, following his steps. And one way to follow him is as he has loved us, we are to love one another. And John 15:10, is that what I said? Yeah, here it is, John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the words I want you to see, just like the ones when he says, love one another as I have loved you. And this is the same words, the wording he used in, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Even as I have done it, I want you to do it. And that's what God wants us to do. He obeyed his Father. The first thing that the Lord spake when he was physically when he was on earth, he said this. He says, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wist ye not? Remember when Mary and Joseph found him there in the temple? And he told him, said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That was the first time that he spoke. And then the last time he spoke on earth, everyone in here knows the last words, don't you? You remember what he said? It is finished. What is finished? My Father's business. He obeyed the Father, and as he obeyed God, the Father, he said, even so, as I have done this,